Well, thank you to the band, to the troops, for playing with me. It's great how that all those songs came out of this psalm that we're gonna share today about. And my buddies, all my friends, wrote those songs. Myself and Marty Nystrom, who will be with us in September, wrote "As the Deer." He'll be here for our mission conference to lead worship. And one of my producers, my early producers, Tom Brooks, wrote "Why So Downcast." So it was kind of fun singing songs of my buddies, but also songs that shared the word with us. You know, this time, in biblical time when these were written, music was important in the life of the church. It expressed, like it is today, it expresses feelings of emotion, of being downcast, of being feeling bad, of joy, of sorrow. All those different things are expressed. And you know David in his writing. We think this psalm was written by David. This is book two of the Psalms. I don't know if you know the Psalms are five books. And this is the beginning of book two, and it doesn't say, like the ones before it, a psalm of David. It says the sons of Korah, but they were musicians in the church, and this is so Davidic in its the way it's written, and you'll hear the verses and the choruses. And as I said, this is actually Psalm 42 and 43 because it's one psalm, one song. Somehow they divide them up sometimes, but it's the same choruses in both of those chapters, and the verses tie in together. Matter of fact, the beginning of 43 explains why David was feeling the way he was feeling. So in this scripture this morning, we'll hear some of the ups and downs of David. He was a roller coaster guy, if you read through the Psalms. He was down and lamenting and downcast, and then boom, he's up and he's excited and he's praising God. We're the same, aren't we? Mary, don't you think some days you're up and you're excited, and other days, oh, why am I even bothering? So it's going to be good to go through and see what David felt, because we feel these same things. But I want to read to you the scripture from, I think it's found in 469 in your Bibles. I want to read it to you again so we can, again, look at these words that we've sung, think about them a little bit, and then I'm going to kind of take them apart a little bit for you so we can apply them to our lives. Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." David is mourning the fact that he misses the public worship of God in those festival days when they would march the streets in praise, and he's crying out to God about that. And then he reminds himself, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and from Hermon, from the Mount Mizar." These were kind of places of exile, places where David went to worship and be alone with God. And he remembers worshiping God there. And then he says, "Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me." What that means is deep, we'll explain it a little more later, but again and again, he's feeling the world just coming upon him, like waves hitting him. "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning before the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you so downcast, O my soul, and why is there turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word, a word that reminds us that we are at times downcast, we're knocked down, but we get up again because of the hope that we have in you. We thank you and praise you for your word. May it touch our lives today and be meaningful to us as we focus on that hope that we have in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought about naming this sermon, "I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up," but we've fallen, and like David says, he's fallen. Actually, this downcast means to bow down, to be brought down low. But he remembers he can get up. He remembers that if he puts his hope in God where it belongs, that is where his salvation is found. So we begin in verse 1, and we read together the songwriter's crying out. He's yearning to be near God. As I said, he's yearning to be in worship with God again. And it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs to be with you, O God. I don't know if you've ever seen a deer panting. I don't know that I have. I've seen deer running around. I've seen dogs panting when they get busy and run around, but it's the same thing. Deers get chased, and I know back in the Old Testament times and even now in Israel, these dogs and animals chase the deer and they start panting and they're thirsting. They need to stop and they need to drink of the water. The Bible tells us so much about living water and what that means. And physically, the deer needs to drink, but spiritually, we need to drink. And David's crying out. And he says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. I believe we all are longing for something. I don't care if you're a follower of Christ or not, but there's always a longing in our heart. There's something that's missing, and we look for it in different ways. And David felt that, or the psalmist felt that at this point. And he said, there's something in my soul. There's something that's making me downcast. And I'm panting. I'm desiring to be present with God and worship. He says, my soul thirsts for the living God. My tears have been my food day and night. Well, they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember and I pour out my soul. You know, people speak doubt into your life sometimes. Maybe even in your own mind. I'm not good enough. Where is my God? I'm sitting here suffering and struggling. Where is my God? And these are words of confusion and lament that David shared. And, you know, sometimes that's hard for us to share that we don't know where God is. We're spiritual people. We're Christians. We're in the church. How could we tell someone that I'm not hearing from God? I'm not feeling God in my life. You know, it's not always a feeling. I tell people, too, it's not about you being faithful to God. The song is great as thy faithfulness. God is faithful to us, even when we're downcast. He's faithful if we put our hope in him, whatever you've been through. We say to ourselves, we see the hungry people around us. We see the refugees. I travel the world and see people suffering and struggling. We're sick in our bodies. I have friends right now struggling with cancer. Where is God in all this? We cry out, and yet sometimes we feel nothing. And our soul thirsts for God. And then David has a bit of resolution here and a bit of confession, really, too, when he says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. We got to remember where to go. We get so caught up in the world that we don't know where to go. We get downcast. I don't often use the word downcast, but I'm in the pits. I am broken. I am feeling depressed. We feel those things. And I'm a blessed man. Listen, I've got a beautiful wife and two beautiful kids and only one granddaughter, although on Facebook it appears I have 15 or 20, but it's just one. I'm blessed, but you know what? I have been downcast. What? Randy Mayfield depressed? How can it be? Well, most of it's because of you guys. You really, no. No, but you know, we put a lot of pressure on people. Undue pressure to perform, to be something all the time. And that gets stressful. And I really haven't gone through tough, difficult things in my life. But just recently, God reminded me that it's not about Randy Mayfield. It's about him. In June, I was with the choir in England. We were doing a tour together. And as I got on the plane, I was a little bit dizzy, but gosh, that's normal for me, you know, really. And my bride says to me, you shouldn't go. I said, oh, I'm just a little dizzy. I'm fine. I've traveled for 40 years and I get on airplanes every month of my life. She was right. But I landed in England after flying for however many hours and couldn't walk. Everything was spinning. I've never had vertigo in my life, but I kind of knew that's what it was. I was nauseous. They had to wheel me off the airplane, and they wheeled me to the emergency in England. And for 4 hours, Tina Duke and Matt Mazzoni were there blessing me and hanging out in the emergency room. And it was all free, too. It's England. Social medicine, hey. Then they found out what we pay for insurance. It wasn't so great. But I was downcast. I was there to perform, to sing, to do what I do, and I couldn't walk. For several days, I had to have a guy on each side walking, carrying me along, you know. That was disappointing. I did sing. The third day was our first concert, and I sat on a stool and sang, and everything went well. God was good. But I was downcast, and After a couple of days, when I started getting, you know, done feeling sorry for myself, you know how that is. Oh, how could God do this to me? It's so terrible. You know, I've been in Syria and northern Iraq and seen what's going on there. How can I think that I've got it bad? But we feel that way sometimes. But I realized that I was blessed, that God had blessed me even in the midst of this. And I started to look up and put my hope in Him. Why so downcast? Put your hope in God. Remember who has got you where you are. And so I'm a blessed man. I serve a blessed God who blesses His people that they can go out and bless others. And I have to remind myself of that from time to time. In verses 7 and 9, we read, "Deep calls to deep, your waves break over me. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and by night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Again, trial upon trial breaks over David. But almost immediately, he turns around and says, "Oh yes, but by day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and by night His song is with me." We got to remember that. That we have to hear this love song that God has for us. And we hear it sometimes through others, but often through His word. We've got to be in the word of God. People say, you've heard that a lot. Be in God's word. Read God's word. Be in the word of God. It makes a difference. Sharon's grandmother lived to be 104. She passed away a couple of years ago. And she was a saint. She really was. And when grandmother died, people wanted something from her home. It wasn't her teepee. It wasn't her teacups. It was her Bible. Because they knew. They knew what made grandmother the woman that she was. She was in the Word every day of her life. And I think maybe they were worried they weren't going to get a Bible. And then they walked in and they saw 30 Bibles worn and marked with favorite verses. 30. The woman, well, she had 104 years, but she wore out 30 Bibles. And that said something to me. Have I even worn out a Bible? And grandmother wore out 30. So we have our answers. They're there. We need to seek them. We need to look to that hope. And we find that hope of glory in Scripture, in God's Word to us. I know society puts a lot of pressures on us, and it's difficult to lift our heads up. It's difficult to even get into the Word sometimes. That's why we have to be there for one another, help one another, love one another in that way, to encourage them. Pastor Ben spoke a couple weeks ago about the suicide rate increasing 25 to 30%. Social media, all the things where we see pressure, interpersonal relationships, job situations, pressures from others that don't respect our Christian values. We feel it. Pressures from home. The wife says, "I'm done." The husband doesn't tell her where he's been and he doesn't show up on time. Pressure of not knowing what to do with your life. I hear people all the time, "Where's this man God has for me? Where's this woman God has for me? I'm waiting. Where's this job that God has for me? I'm downcast. I'm depressed." All I can tell you is don't put your hope in your job or in another person, in your pastors. That's not where your hope belongs. Your hope has to be in God. And we find out through His word that that's where that hope comes. All these things produce a heaviness, and David felt that heaviness. And that's why he said over and over in both chapter 42 and 43, "Why am I so downcast? Why am I so depressed? Because I forget who I am and whose I am, and I need to put my hope in God." We find out that he had had some hassles. In the first verse of chapter 43, he says, "Vindicate me, O God, defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me." So he was feeling the pressures of the world on him as well. As one who stood up for God, people will come against that. You know that. If you have to stand up for God in your school, in your workplace, even in your home, we can feel the pressures that come against us. But we look again at the final verse of Psalm 42 and 43, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. The psalmist put his hope in God. He had to redirect his thinking, his focus in life. He had to redirect it away from the problems and onto something good. I heard a story, and it's a true story about 60,000 people in Wisconsin were watching the Badgers play football. It was 1982, and the Badgers were losing terribly. And yet, the coaches and the players were freaking out because the fans would scream and just get excited because they were listening to the Milwaukee Brewers game playing the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series, and they were winning. The Brewers were winning. And the crowd was going crazy. And then finally the coaches and everybody caught on, oh, they're not really focusing on us on this game. We're beating the Cardinals. And that's kind of the way it is in our lives. There might be things around us. We're losing on the field, okay? It looks like we're losing pretty bad. But in our hearts and in our minds, if we put our hope in God, we hear a different story. We're winning because God is there for us. It's not always going to be perfect, but God is always there for us. How do we put our hope in God? In a practical way, how do we do that? Crying out to the Lord even now. You hear it. So. Sorry. It's okay. I'll keep moving along here for you. But, you know, first of all, we recognize God really does love us. We say that in our prayer every morning. God loves us. We are his children. When you understand that this is a father who loves you, I don't care what your earthly father was like. He may have been a jerk, but your heavenly father loves you. If you get into his word and read it, he loves you so much. He sent his only son to die for you. That's how much he loves you. And when we know that God loves us, and he's in control of the circumstances of our life, even when we're so out of control, you know, we ask ourselves, my life's a mess. Things are going crazy. My kids are a wreck. My marriage is a wreck. Okay. Put your hope in God. I'm not saying that all those things will change and everything will be perfect. God never promised that. When Christ said, follow me, he didn't say it was going to be an easy road. He said it would be tough. There would be problems and trials and persecutions. That doesn't sound like a club I want to join. That's not that fun. But the rewards eternally are amazing if you put your hope in God. Have you really done that? I mean, you may have been sitting in the pews at Central for 50 years, and you may have heard great messages, and you may really enjoy and like the things you hear, and you live a good moral life, but have you trusted Christ? Have you put your hope in God? It makes a difference. It's not a game that we play to come in and just feel good on Sunday and then live our life the rest of the week. Have you trusted him and put your hope in him? Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud, great men of the word, of course, they led some strong attacks against the Christian faith. They were not believers. Freud even said God is a projection of a child's wish for a protecting, powerful father. And they both believed that God was dead or didn't exist. And they both died bitter and delusioned men without any hope. There was another man who didn't know the Lord. His name was C.S. Lewis. But he eventually came to understand who Jesus was and what this hope in God meant. And he gave his life to Christ. And you know him from his books, Chronicles of Narnia. Some of you kids know that. He wrote that. But also Mere Christianity, The Screwtape Letters, and many others. He came to know Christ. And part of that came out of a fact that his wife died of cancer. He'd been married just a few years, and his wife, who he loved, died of cancer. And he was able to get through that. And through his sorrow, he emerged a stronger Christian and understood the unspeakable joy of God, even in difficult times. He was downcast. He was sorrowful. But he placed his hope in God. A Christian's hope has to be something that's real. It has to be placed in something that's real. Not in a job, not in a person, not in a vacation. Sharon and I are getting ready to go to California. It's a beautiful thing, but that's not where our hope is. A lot of great waves, but not our hope. And so we have to put our hope where it matters, and that is put our hope in God. The Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord in Jeremiah, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God wants to give you a hope and a future. We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Where's the foundation of your life? Have you put your hope in God? Hebrews also says we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on your behalf. God wants to be there for you. He wants to show himself faithful to you. He wants to be your hope. He's on your side. The Bible tells us, I called upon the Lord in my time of distress. The Lord is on my side as my helper, Psalms 118 says. He really is for you. One other passage from 1 Peter. Put your hope in God. Redirect again. Redirect your attention. Praise be to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. And that living hope comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you weak this morning? Put your hope in God. Are you disappointed in people or yourself? Put your hope in God. He is able. He will be there for you. We sang a song on the choir tour. It's called He's Never Failed Me Yet. The words say, trust and never doubt. Jesus will always pull you out. He's never failed me yet. And that's true in my life. I've had disappointments. I've had times of despair, but He has never failed me. I have failed myself. I have failed others, but He's never failed me. And the song goes on to talk about Moses and Pharaoh as he was delivered from Pharaoh's hands, Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the stories. That's history. He never failed him, but even today, He won't fail you. Why are you so cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. If you haven't experienced this love of God, if you haven't experienced the mercy and grace that Jesus Christ brings to you, I encourage you this morning, reach out to Him. There's no counselor. I love Christian counselors. They're helpful. There's no spouse. I love my spouse. She helps me. But there's no one that can reach into your heart and know who you really are and pull you out of that pit and that despair like Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him this morning, I pray you'll receive Him into your heart. I want to pray a prayer this morning. Like Billy Graham says, the buses won't wait, but I'm not going to make you come down the aisle either. But I want you to pray it with me. If this is the first time you've prayed this prayer, or maybe you need to pray again to say, my hope hasn't been in God for a long time. As we pray together right now, I want you to pray these words in your heart with me, and then come talk to me or come talk to one of our elders or one of the ladies who pray with you in the chapel. Make this the day that you say, I'm done playing. I can't deal with the issues myself. I need to put my hope in God. Let's pray together. Jesus, I need you this morning. I know that I've sinned and I've fallen short of your glory, and I cannot do it by myself any longer. I need you. So I pray even now, Lord, you'll come into my life and help me to follow you. Be my Lord, be my Savior, my helper, my friend. I receive you today and a desire to walk with you from this day forward. Amen. This isn't magic. Not all your problems are going to vanish. But when you trust in Christ and you put your hope in Him, when you cry out to God, He will hear you. And I pray that that's your prayer this morning. Thank you.